Hello.
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 Hello. And in the week that in Manchester, an ancient burial ground containing at least 277 people's remains was found during Metrolink expansions.
Well, and in a week where in a shopping centre in New Jersey, children being charged a minimum of $35 to meet Santa.
And in the week that Catherine has been replaced by a cyborg, and I for one welcome our new robot overlords, we bring you the Geekly Chronicles.
It is the Geekly Chronicles. Hello.
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 Wow.
Wow.
And that's Robot Catherine.
Yes. Unfortunately, Catherine was unable to join us this week, which is a shame. But, you know, she is she's here in spirit.
She is here in spirit.
Yep. So she's here. We've got loads of cool stuff to talk about on the show this week. That was your cue, by the way.
Excellent. If only I could remember the cool stuff. We're going to be talking a bit about space because we here in the UK are in the process of sending someone to the ISS, which is rather exciting.
Not we here as in the Geekly Chronicles, but we here as in...
They told us we shouldn't. They told us we should stop trying.
We have been trying.
We have.
No matter how much we've played Kerbal Space Program, it's not quite been a good enough... prep for going into space, but
no.
British astronaut Tim Peake is going to the International Space Station in just a few days. That's Astro Peake on Twitter, or Astro Tim on Twitter, rather. And we're very excited. Tim is very excited. And, I think everyone's just excited.
Generally, there's a lot of excitement floating around.
There's going to be a Brit on the ISS, which means as well as that anti-grav espresso machine they've got up there now, there'll also be anti-grav tea-making facilities.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Every space station needs those.
We've got a special edition of the Tumble Fumble this week, guest hosted by Chris.
Because obviously Catherine isn't here, and we figured Robot Catherine is pretty clever, but she's not clever enough to do the Tumble Fumble.
No.
Although she can say...
Okay, so on Tumblr.
So, you know.
Yeah,
she's,
so that's
she's
not too
almost
bad.
There.
So, yeah, we're also going to be talking a bit about makerspaces.
Yes.
Which are very cool.
Yes, they are.
We've got many of the regular features. No Game of Geeks this week with Catherine being away, but we've got the prize draw. We've got the Tumble Fumble. We've got a forecast or two. And as always, we'll be chatting about various things that have been going on in the world.
Indeed.
But first, before anything else, before you get your requests in...
Fair enough.
Yeah, so a big shout out and hello to everyone that is in our chat room. As always, please remember, if you're listening along to the show, you can jump into our IRC chat room. Even if you're listening back to it, pre-recorded, hello those of you that we know that are listening back to us on Mixcloud or iTunes or on our website or anywhere
any of the
else.
Various other things that there you can use places. To hear sounds. From the internet.
Yes. So hello, you people. Please join our chat room on IRC. It's Freenode IRC, and it's the room is GKLY. But hello to everyone that is in the chat room. People are chatting away and making requests, as they always do. So if you're listening back, you can make a request, and we'll pick it up for the show next time.
Yes. And, confusing.
Yeah, but it's all good.
Yes. Is this the bit where I tell people how to do that?
I could press a button.
I don't think we have a button for that.
No, we don't. We have a button for the chat room.
Why not?
Chat along with the show. Join the channel GKLY on Freenode IRC or hit the chat link on our website. It's where all the cool kids are.
Indeed it is.
Yeah.
And if you type !! request and then a space and then the name of your song and who it's by and stuff in the chat room, then Geeklybot will try and figure out what you meant, probably bring up some kind of obscure karaoke version, but probably like 7 times out of 10, it shows us the song that you wanted to play and puts it in our lovely little request queue.
Well, not only do we have Geeklybot, but this evening we've got the Nail Gun Robot as well, replacing Catherine, who is, of course, not quite here this week. Catherine, our dear co-host, we do call her the Nail Gun Princess. And Nail Gun Robot is, well, it is alive in the studio. Hello, Nail Gun Robot.
Maybe all I'm full of is inappropriateness.
Well, yes, I think so.
That is entirely possible.
How are you, Nail Gun Robot? What's going on? What's your day contained?
It also entertained me for a good 20 minutes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. What kind of things
entertained you for 20 minutes?
Strange ornaments.
Okay, that's
that
one thing.
Sounds about right. Mm-hmm. To be honest.
Gravy boat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who doesn't love one of those?
I do like gravy.
A really useful site.
Okay. A really useful website. Nice one, Catherine.
Baker Street Station.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, right in sort of Sherlock territory.
Yeah, that kind of area.
That is true.
Dancing cows.
Where did you see those?
What, dancing cows?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see them.
I'm asking the robot. The robot...
Hasn't replied. No.
No, because the robot doesn't know where it saw the dancing cows.
No.
Because I'm fast realising that I don't have a button that corresponds to a place name.
Other than Baker Street.
1985.
That'll there we do. Go.
Flawless. Completely flawless. We will be checking back in with Nail Gun Robot throughout the show.
Yes, and we're very glad to have the Nail Gun Robot with us. But of course, the Catherine in flesh will be here again next week.
Yes, she will. So,
so thanks, Catherine.
For lending us your voice.
Yes, Catherine.
To chop up. Also in the news this week, and this news broke a few hours before we went on air, and I kind of enjoyed it. Weatherspoon's hackers steal personal data of 656,000 British customers is the headline in the Express.
Weatherspoon's is in the pub.
Yes.
Or for our American friends, sports bar.
Yes, it's
for our Canadian friends, pub.
Yes.
Or for our Australian friends, pub.
Yes.
Or for our friends in the rest of Europe, pub.
Yes.
Or for our friends in Ireland.
Yes. For our friends in France, le pub.
Yes.
Which,
you know, in France they call it le beer.
Yes. But yeah, Weatherspoon's is a chain of British pubs, and they, as many places do now, have a website, which was just hacked.
But it's a pub. I mean, what's going to be on a pub's website?
Well, there's a lot of things, because apparently it had a customer's database, including the names, date of birth, email addresses, phone numbers of 656,000 people.
Why does a pub need that on its website?
I really don't know.
So is this anyone that's just been into a Weatherspoon's? You walk through the door, or do you have to sign up for a promotion?
I think
or?
People that have signed up for promotions and things on the website and have had their name and details logged, those are the details that have been stolen. But kind of the worst thing about this is that this hack happened in June.
Okay, and it wasn't news at the time because...
It says Weatherspoon's officials were only told about the hack by security experts earlier this week.
I don't understand.
So that's 6 months between the hack actually happening and everyone finding out about it.
That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, kind of worrying. You may remember a couple of months ago, TalkTalk was hacked.
Yeah, the TalkTalk was basically entirely on fire, yes.
Yes, everything was on fire. We talked about that on the show because they had details stolen as well. And the CEO of TalkTalk said that it was kind of a cybersecurity arms race at the moment. Offering us possibly my favorite quote in all of news in the last few months.
Go on.
She said, criminals are learning how to do things.
No explanation as to what things.
No. Well,
criminals are learning how to do things.
Yes, apparently.
Is that not what rehabilitation is, though?
What, learning how to do things?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I guess.
You learn how to not steal if you're a thief going through rehabilitation, surely.
I suppose so. The CEO of Weatherspoon's, or J.D. Weatherspoon, to give it its full proper
official
title.
Is the chief executive of J.D. Weatherspoon called J.D. Weatherspoon?
No, he's called John Hudson.
That is very disappointing.
I know. Apparently, 100 customers who have bought vouchers on the Weatherspoon's website had their credit and debit card information stolen as well, which is not good.
But not in the slightest, no.
No, apparently not all of the details were stolen, just like the last four digits of the card number. So it's difficult to use that for fraud. But even so,
I mean, not impossible.
No, though, it's not impossible. Someone's iCloud account was hacked a while ago because they gave Apple the last four digits of someone else's credit card number.
That's so unfortunate.
It's not ideal as a situation.
No, well, that's, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, I've been to loads of events on cybersecurity and stuff like that. And actually,
I've been to loads of Wetherspoons.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, the events on cybersecurity generally are nicer than going to a Wetherspoons.
Yes, I would have to agree.
But a lot of people are trying to stop this. But, you know, all of this keeps happening.
Yes, it does. I'm reading an article here from Wired magazine that says this hack is four times bigger than TalkTalk, just for the sheer number of customers involved.
We just didn't know about it.
Yeah, we just didn't know about it. So they're getting worse and worse by the sounds of things.
Catherine, what do you think?
Fingers in your mouth.
Yeah, I know. It is that shocking.
It is.
I mean,
I don't quite know why.
No, I mean, I don't know why they do it either, to be honest with you. It is incredibly frustrating. I mean, what are they thinking?
I'm quite terrified.
Yeah, I would be as well. Yes. I think it's terrible.
The CEO has apologized to all of Wetherspoons' various customers. There's an email that's gone out that says, your information might have been stolen. Basically,
might have been, so they don't even know for sure.
You can never really be sure, it seems, according to this report and the TalkTalk report. No one's ever quite been entirely sure what's been stolen and
but
when.
Then I remember a while ago when there was that Adobe hack. We're going back maybe two and a half years.
Yeah,
you know, as an Adobe customer, I was able to go to a website, type in my Adobe account email address, and it would tell me whether my email address was on the list that the hacker stole or not.
Yes. So there's an excellent website for exactly that purpose, which is called Have I Been Pwned, as in owned with a P, pwned.com. And if you put your email address in there or your username that you use for stuff, it will tell you that basically the people that run this website collect big long lists of all of the security hacks and breaches and things like that that happen. So you can search and see if your account details come up in any of them.
I'm doing that right now.
At the moment, the top 10 breaches on the website are the Adobe accounts, the Ashley Madison hack, some web hosting accounts, the Snapchat got hacked a while ago, various other websites as well. There are 66 total compromised sites on here.
So I've just put in various email addresses that I've used over periods of time. My current ones are all fine. However, one old one that is now very much redundant has come up. Oh no, owned on one breach site. and it says Adobe, the big one.
Yes, so that was a very Adobe big one. Breach. 152 million accounts, it says, in the Adobe hack, which is...
email address, password hints, passwords, and usernames. So that was one of the things that prompted me to change my email address. So it was an old one.
Yes, it's kind of scary that these things happen, but...
Yeah.
There
just
you go.
Searching through prior old email addresses. Yeah. Many
just
of them are showing
all
up.
Of these
yeah.
in. And you can also sign up to receive email alerts if your email pops up in a security breach as well, which is quite good. I've had an email once or twice, I think, when the Adobe hack happened, because I found out about this site before then. I signed up, and then when the Adobe hack happened, they sent me an email saying, hey, guess what? Adobe's been hacked. You're screwed.
Nice. Well, I suppose it was good to know.
Yes, it is definitely better to know than not. I went and changed everything. And now I'm possibly safer.
So in other news, getting away from hacks and more onto something that is essentially monster in its proportions, it's National Cookie Day in the United States.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Very.
Are you waiting for me to appreciate the cookie monster pun?
Yeah. There's All a right. button for it somewhere.
It is reminding me of that monster from Red Dwarf.
There we go.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are lots of great tweets that I've been looking at about cookies that are making me exceptionally hungry. And we've got other food related things to talk about a bit later in the show, but yeah, this is brilliant. It's National Cookie Day in the United States. So
that's
hey, most obese nation in the world. If you feel yeah. like keeping that streak going,
yes,
it is National Cookie Day.
Just in case.
Yeah, and I mean, we can hardly comment here. It is contagious, and we do have your obesity here now as well. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it fills me with nostalgia as well as makes me feel quite Christmassy, which is always nice.
Catherine, anything to add?
With a brief mention of Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's it, apparently.
That's it, yeah. Okay. You really need to get better at pressing Catherine's buttons.
I really do, which yep. is an interesting sentence.
Yes, something I never thought I would hear myself saying. But on the thought of Feed the World, there was a really disturbing news story that
yes.
you drew to my attention earlier that I think is we are ironically placed to mention.
Indeed. So this is the story that came out a couple of days ago, or rather, I mean, it's not a new thing, but it was posted a couple of days ago. And in 2009... a man in Iceland bought a McDonald's cheeseburger, but he didn't intend to eat it. He intended to keep it. Because at the time, in 2009, McDonald's had decided that it was too costly to operate the franchise in Iceland, so were about to withdraw from the country entirely.
What made Iceland more expensive for McDonald's than any other country in the world?
I really don't know. Possibly that they just couldn't deal with, like, the natural Icelandic diet of, like, blueberries and sharks and yogurt. If those adverts are anything to be believed. So this guy bought this burger and kept it in his garage for 3 years. So this burger had been sat there, kind of wilting away for 3 years. And in 2012, he went back out into the corner of his garage that he put the burger in. And in a surprise that surprised absolutely no one, the burger hadn't rotted or deteriorated at all.
So it was just still a complete fine burger.
Yes. Well, fine might be a strong word. It was a McDonald's burger. But
it was still a McDonald's burger.
It was as it came, yes.
So, but I make food, and within a week, it's gone. It's mouldy.
Yes. So I think the lesson to be learned here is that the McDonald's cheeseburger, at least by the Icelandic recipe, doesn't contain any actual food.
Well, perhaps. Maybe it's all food-grade plastic.
Well...
But that does nicely lead us on to thinking a bit about space as well. Because, I mean, surely they need food like that in space.
Well, yeah. I mean, the pickles would probably, like, float out and... Because the problem with
floating
space...
Floating pickles.
The problem with
pickles
space food...
Pickles in space.
The reason they have to have space food out of packets and stuff is because if they... took normal food up into space, it would go everywhere because, I mean, obviously there's no gravity, so you'd
obviously.
Get stuff floating.
Yeah, well, surely
all
you could just keep
you.
It in a cage.
Well, possibly, but like crumbs,
have a food cage,
things getting into important bits and pieces. So, so that would be problematic. Which did not stop, incidentally, someone named John Young from eating a cheeseburger in space in 1968.
Really?
Fun fact for you there.
Did it go everywhere? Did that launch vehicle get lost and have to be destroyed afterwards?
I imagine it did go everywhere, and I don't know if the launch vehicle was destroyed, but I do remember that...
We haven't got mustard stains off the moon since then.
That John Young got in a lot of trouble for that.
But did they just not notice that he'd taken the cheeseburger with him?
Pretty much.
So was that a McDonald's burger that somehow lasted a few weeks until it was in space and then...
I don't know if it was McDonald's or otherwise.
I'm finding it really quite gross.
Yeah.
But enough about space burgers. I'm very excited because Tim Peake, if you've heard the name, but Tim Peake is an astronaut. Tim Peake is also British. We haven't had many British astronauts, but we've got Tim Peake, who in 10 days, 16 hours, 33 minutes and 58 seconds as of the time of me saying that. It's now 56 seconds. I'm not going to count down. But is going to the International Space Station, which is exciting. Really, really exciting. With the European Space Agency. What's even more interesting is that he's doing a series of kind of things for the first time on the International Space Station. He's taking with him a bunch of Raspberry Pis.
Ooh.
That have got applications, as in the small computer, not things that will produce crumbs.
Yeah, because that's
the conversation
not
we just had. Yes. But a bunch of Raspberry Pis with software on them that has been written by school kids across the country. So Raspberry Pis were sent out to schools and young people wrote a bunch of applications to do lots of different things in space. The idea being that people can actually have their code running in space.
That's quite exciting.
Which is really cool. So Tim Cook is taking those Raspberry Pis up there as well. But also Tim Peake is during his time in space, running the London Marathon.
How is he going to do that from space?
Well, all of the astronauts have to exercise. But during the London Marathon, at the exact same time that it starts in London, Tim Peake will run the full 42-kilometer distance on a treadmill aboard the ISS with a view... Wow. Of the Earth out of the window in front of him. So every time it orbits, obviously, he will run the marathon and be able to look at London every now and then as well.
Wow.
So, yeah, wow indeed, Catherine. Wow indeed. So Tim Peake will be running the London Marathon. He has run the London Marathon before in 1999, a while ago. Finished in 3 hours, 18 minutes. He's not apparently going to try and beat that time. As his medical team will be monitoring him to ensure he's healthy for his return to work. So he's just going to take it easy, but is planning to run the London Marathon at the same time as the London Marathon actually happens.
Well, I mean, good luck to him.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Cook will be up in space for a while, for a few months.
You said
but...
Tim Cook. Just Tim Peake will be in space. Tim Cook will be in charge of Apple, in Cupertino. Yes,
looking toward the stars, but not on the International Space Station.
No.
Although the new Apple office
does look a bit like a spaceship. So swings and roundabouts.
Tim Cook will be there in Apple's new spaceship campus, orbiting the Earth, doing the London Marathon.
Yes, that would be exciting.
Oh dear, that was a bit of a slip there, wasn't it?
Indeed.
So Tim Peake is on Twitter, astro_TimPeake, and is doing some amazing updates, taking his phone up into space with him. He's going to be sending lots of photos. We've seen the launch vehicle. He's been sharing pictures of everything he's been up to. It's just amazing. And I love the fact that now in this day and age of social media that we have... people like Tim Peake who are able to actually tweet their experiences of going into space.
It is awfully exciting. I remember
I want to go to space.
Perhaps. I remember, I think we probably all remember when Chris Hadfield went up to the, I think it's Hadfield, I might have said that wrong, went up to the International Space Station and did that excellent cover of Space Oddity.
Yes.
And brought that back down with him, which was quite fun. But yeah, we are getting a lot more updates from people in space now, thanks to all of the technology that we have available. In fact, there's a website called howmanypeopleareinspacerightnow.com.
Oh, is there? Let me check.
That does pretty much what it says on the tin, but tells you how many people are on the ISS
Well, so six, but that's people that we know about, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, people could have snuck into space that we don't know about.
For all we know.
I mean, it's pretty difficult to get there generally, but...
So there are currently six people in space. Scott Kelly, Mikhail Kornienko, Kjell Lindgren...
Did you back yourself into a corner with this
Oleg Kononenko, Kimiya Yui, and Sergei Volkov.
Nicely done.
Yeah, I see. I can read names.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah. And it sorts them as well by how long they've been in space. So Scott Kelly has been in space for 252 days, which is a long time, isn't it?
Scott, if you're listening, you can come home now. It's fine.
All space has been is still forgotten. There.
I've got some giant crumpets in the cupboard.
If you
land in my garden, I'll make you a cup of tea. It's all good.
In fact, it says on how many people are in space right now .com that there's even an app you can download where it will send you a notification when someone else goes to space.
Well, that's kind of handy. Yeah. I mean, I can imagine that once space tourism kicks off, it's probably going to be tough.
Yeah, get a bit annoying, probably.
Like, there are now 400,000 people in space.
Each flight goes up and suddenly you get bombarded with notifications.
But yeah.
I mean, you know, it's useful for now. Also, I've just looked up. So, obviously, Tim Peake is going to the International Space Station, that bubble that spins around the Earth.
Yes.
And that is managed... at the moment by a kind of a joint effort by the Americans and the Russians, who are the two biggest space programs, but they also send up, there is a Japanese person there and there will soon be a British person.
Yes, from the ESA, the European Space Agency.
Yep. So on the NASA website at spotthestation.nasa.gov, you can punch in where you are in the world, and it will tell you when you can look up and see the International Space Station.
Okay, hold on.
So I'm...
I think I might have broken my key. Why did I have to punch it in?
I was... at...
Oh,
yeah, punch in is a metaphor.
Okay. Okay, I need
anyway,
a new keyboard.
I've just put in London, and it says that it will be visible on Sunday, December the 6th at 6:41 p.m. for under 1 minute.
Yeah, but then 7th of December, 8th of December, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. On the 10th of December, it'll be visible for 5 minutes. So get your telescopes out. It's going to be exciting. And actually, on the day that it launches, the day that that Tim launches on the 15th of December, 3 minutes it'll be visible for.
Yeah, 5:14 p.m. In London, and
so definitely well worth
the times where you are. Yes, it orbits the Earth every 90 minutes, I think. So
yes,
you'll be able to spot it, I'm sure. And this will tell you exactly when it appears, where in the sky, with like degrees and stuff, it appears and disappears.
That is quite handy.
It's awfully exciting if you have a telescope that you can figure out the degrees with.
Yeah, a lot of those telescopes have automated stands. I actually need to get a new telescope. I love astronomy, but I don't have a telescope right now. I might have to ask Santa for one, I think.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, you know, Tim Peake is 43, from Chichester in West Sussex. In other occupation, it says test pilot. So I think he's probably already had some flying experience.
That's good.
Graduated from the University of Portsmouth.
So there you go, Portsmouth.
Something to be proud
of
there.
Fame. Always good.
Indeed. Yep. So that's Tim Peake heading off to space. I'm really excited. Dweeb in the chat room says, mustard stains on the moon, beautiful imagery. I am actually quite on board with that. I think that a mustard moon.
Well, the moon is made of cheese, obviously.
No, the moon is made of meat.
So... we have differing opinions.
The moon is made of meat, my son. The moon is made of meat. And all the meat from which it's made has come from goose's feet.
That sounds disgusting.
A million gooses footless were, and they began to cry. Something, 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 something learned to fly.
Well, mine was a Wallace and Gromit reference, so...
I'm gonna find that song now, because it is brilliant.
Oh, God.
Stall.
Well... mine was a Wallace and Gromit reference because that's possibly my favourite Wallace and Gromit film of all time, where they go to the moon and it's made of cheese. And
here we go. Well, let's... it's this is a song about the moon.
Apparently. I mean, who am I to argue with music?
So what is it time for?
It's the Tumble Fumble. More random happenings from across the internet. It's the Tumble Fumble. Are you ready for a scroll in the hay?
Well, you've really got all the buttons out tonight.
All the buttons.
Yes.
Okay, so on Tumblr.
That's my only robo-nails button.
So, yeah, unfortunately, I mean, pass me the robot.
There's the
robot.
I'll
control the robot. You do the talking.
Okay, well, the Icelandic cheeseburger story was my first Tumble Fumble item.
Ah, but we saved a bit of it for the Tumble
We did.
Fumble.
We saved the possibly the weirdest bit of the entire story. So the guy that saved the cheeseburger, it was in 2012. He went back into his garage to look at it, and as I said, it hadn't decomposed at all. So then he decided to give it to a museum.
Give it to a museum. So gave a cheeseburger to a museum.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Indeed. You're enjoying that, aren't you?
I've got all the buttons now.
Uh-huh. That was a bad idea.
I know.
So he donated it to a museum, and eventually it made its way to the bus hostel in Reykjavik. So they
and
made,
it works.
Sure. They made a little display for it.
A display?
Yes.
For a cheeseburger.
And it's still there to this day, astonishingly.
So there is a cheeseburger from when was this? 2009?
2009 is when it was bought, yeah.
So a cheeseburger bought from McDonald's in 2009 is now on display in a hostel.
Yeah.
Is this real life or is this just fantasy?
I don't know. There are certainly no landslides in which we are currently caught. So, I know. So,
yeah.
This is definitely a real thing that happened.
It's a disturbing story.
It is a very
Please
disturbing
retweet to
story.
Raise awareness.
I agree, Robo Nails. I agree. But it does get a little bit weirder.
How do you get weirder than a cheeseburger bought in 2009 that you then put on display in a hostel?
So
come on, I'm waiting.
But it's still there. There have been photos that have accompanied this this story. In fact, it's got a little tag that says this is the last McDonald's cheeseburger sold in Iceland in 2009. There is a live stream of the cheeseburger in the hostel, which I'm now currently loading up.
Wow.
And you can watch it being a cheeseburger.
So you can.
Yeah. I have put the link in the chat room and
this burger was made 2,226 days ago.
Yep.
Okay, I'm loading the live stream. I'm loading the live stream.
It does look like a burger. There are also some fries with it.
But the fries aren't even mouldy either.
No, they're not, which is quite disturbing.
I mean, you know, it's a bit kind of translucent at one of the ends, but that is
a
McDonald's cheeseburger.
I think that might just be like a reflection of the thing. The fries and the burger both look pretty as they came. I mean, they're a bit like limp and sad, but every time I've ever seen anything that's been ordered from McDonald's, that's always looked limp and sad, so... To be entirely honest, it looks like it is as it came.
If it was up to me, Vinnie Barrett, Unicorn Generator.
All right, then.
Well, Robo Nails did not like that.
So that's the that's the cheeseburger incident. And then the other thing for the Tumble Fumble.
Something
today.
I found particularly addictive. There might even be a handy link.
There might indeed. So, we were talking earlier, if you'll remember, not we on the show, but me and you here in the studio.
Okay.
We were talking about Humpty Dumpty.
Yes.
You were also there, Robot Catherine.
Yes.
And,
Yeah.
You're just going to carry on with this, aren't you?
I've no idea. I've lost the plot.
I really shouldn't have given you the buttons. That was a bad idea.
Don't worry.
Keep everyone in suspenders.
Oh, God.
Shall we...
Yes, let's. So we've been thinking, we were talking about Humpty Dumpty, and I got interested in the origin of Humpty Dumpty, because everyone depicts Humpty Dumpty as an egg that fell off a wall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Quite why you'd send horses to go and reconstruct an egg, I'm not entirely sure. Or quite why you'd want to reconstruct the egg, to be entirely honest with you. So I did a little bit of digging.
Wow.
And I found there are a few theories about the origin of Humpty Dumpty as a story. The egg thing, it's not actually mentioned anywhere in the rhyme that Humpty Dumpty is an egg.
Hang on a second, but I've always seen Humpty Dumpty depicted as an egg.
Well, the reason that you have always seen Humpty Dumpty depicted as an egg...
Chris didn't put his laptop on it.
I think I've crushed the egg.
that was an accident, but quite amusing all the same.
Yes, the reason you think of Humpty Dumpty as an egg is because Lewis Carroll...
Of story writing fame.
Yes, off of stories. In Through the Looking Glass, which was published in 1872.
That's the sequel to Alice in Wonderland, right?
Indeed. That's the first time Humpty Dumpty was ever referred to explicitly as an egg.
And so ever since then, it's just been an
egg. It's just been an egg.
So what is the story if it's not about an egg falling off a wall?
Well, that is the interesting bit, because no one can quite agree. As far as we know, Humpty Dumpty as a story has been around for a very, very long time. It was first, the first known publication was in Juvenile Amusements by Samuel Arnold in 1797.
Wow.
Which is about just under 220 years ago.
It certainly is.
320 years ago, in fact. Maybe.
It certainly is.
I can't count. 220.
1985?
Ish. And that version was actually different. It went, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Fourscore men and fourscore more could not make Humpty Dumpty where he was before. Which is different because it doesn't involve any horses. So the horses were a new thing. Again, quite why you'd bring horses baffles me.
Because they give you minty fresh breath.
All right. But that was the first time.
I've distracted you by the
robot.
You
have a little bit. That was the first time Humpty Dumpty was published, so no one is quite sure today on what the theory was. One idea that I saw online but couldn't find any evidence for, I mean, to be honest, I can't find any evidence for most of these theories, but one of them was that it was about a child, 5 years of age, who was executed by being pushed off a wall into a pit of spikes.
Why would you execute a child?
I really don't know.
Wow.
I don't know what the child did.
But even still.
But
that's just mean.
It is. I mean, you can see why they couldn't put Humpty together again.
Yeah.
But that's one theory. Another theory is
foxes.
All right. Another theory is that
foxes.
There are no foxes in this theory.
No.
During the English Civil War in 1648, the town of Colchester was under siege. And supposedly there was a man named Jack Thompson who was stationed on a wall, the walls of the city of the town of Colchester, with a cannon nicknamed Humpty Dumpty.
That cannot be true.
Well, we don't know. We really don't know. So apparently Thompson and the cannon managed to do a lot of damage to the advancing troops until the cannon eventually fell to the ground. And because it was big and heavy, dozens of men tried to lift it back up onto the wall, but they couldn't do so. So Colchester was forced to open its gates and surrender, apparently. We don't know if that's true. The Siege of Colchester happened, that much we know, but there is no evidence that Humpty Dumpty was the name of a cannon or anything like that, because the Battle of Colchester happened over a century before Humpty Dumpty, the rhyme, was first published.
It seems like it's probably not so in any way related.
It seems completely unrelated. There's no documented connection, this website
hashtag
says.
Wow.
Indeed. And there's lots of discussion about this on the Humpty Dumpty Wikipedia page as well. Another theory is that Humpty Dumpty represented everyone's favourite historical anomaly, Richard III.
The car park king.
Yes, the guy they dug up from under a car park in Leicester, where it turned
could
out
it be...
he'd been buried.
Could it be?
It could, potentially.
Could it be?
and apparently... He was called the Humpbacked King because supposedly he had a hunchback, although recent evidence suggests that he didn't, and in fact he just had scoliosis, which made his shoulders a bit uneven.
As well as your ear holes.
Perhaps. But the idea is that in 1485, Richard III fought at the Battle of Bosworth, and apparently either his horse was named Wall.
What?
I know.
Talk about a tenuous link.
Or his men... who all abandoned him, were representative of the wall.
That's a little bit too
I'm really not art. Feeling the artistic symbolism in that particular metaphor. But
magic happens?
Apparently, because either way, the king fell off his horse and was supposedly hacked to pieces on the field.
Because
no one could put him back together again.
Because
war. But... I know... There's a lot of evidence to the contrary, because you know how we dug him up from a car park?
Yeah, yeah, we found Richard III and then buried him again, right?
Well, he was still pretty much in one piece.
So they could have put Humpty together again.
Yes, so they clearly didn't hack him to pieces on the battlefield.
But did they even use the word Humpty back then?
Well, again, the word hunchback... Oh, humpbacked, which is how the story goes. Humpbacked didn't exist in King Richard's day, nor for several centuries after, it says. Hunchback as a word didn't appear till the 18th century either. So I've pretty much spent the entire day researching Humpty Dumpty, and it turns out there is more to the rhyme than we know.
Oh.
At the moment, we just know the four lines of the chorus bit, as this person on the internet has posted.
Are you trying to tell me? There is more to Humpty Dumpty.
Apparently. And it begins in 1648, when England suffered the pains of state, that Roundheads lay siege to Colchester town, where the king's men still fought for the crown. There one-eyed Thompson stood on a wall, a gunner of deadliest aim. From St. Mary's Tower his cannon he fired, Humpty Dumpty was its name. Then you go on to Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again.
So it is about Colchester.
Well, that makes it sound like it is, but I don't know where that version came from, because that's not the version that was published in 1797. That's just a version I found on the internet. So I'm not sure where it came from, but this person is saying that that's the version they were taught. The full version as a child. So.
Did they go to school in Colchester?
It doesn't say. But
are they from the Colchester Tourist Board?
I really don't know.
No. This could be an inside job.
I'm not entirely sure, but this was a clumsy way to segue onto a discussion about the Geekly Prize Draw.
Yes.
The prize draw of drawers.
Draw of drawers. So we have a draw.
Yes. In fact... We have a chest of drawers.
You realise if you turn your head away from the microphone, people can't hear you.
Yes. Well, we have a chest of drawers.
We do.
So I'm rattling around so you can hear that they're real.
Things at work.
Basically. And in it, we have some prizes.
We do, and they are pretty epic. So what have we got in there so far?
In here so far, we've got the manual for the drawer.
I don't really remember that.
Well, remember when we built the whole IKEA drawer situation?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, well, we have the manual, which we have signed.
We have.
For some reason.
Yep.
I'm flicking through it now, and yes, it definitely does tell you how to build the drawers.
We may have added some commentary of our own.
We might well have done. So that'll be
well,
fun.
It looks like...
Drawers, Robo Nails. It looks like drawers.
Yes. We have the script from the new jingles.
Ah, signed by
Hattie Hayridge.
By Hattie Hayridge, yes.
The voice of the new jingles.
Uh-huh.
Gothic Australian Doctors for Africa.
We don't have any of those.
Okay.
But, yep, that's in there, including all of the things that Hattie scrawled on the
Brilliant.
On the script.
She has written lots of notes around them, which is great.
She has. Mainly, this show is terrible. Why am I doing this?
No,
on every page.
She liked it.
We've got an original Game Boy, which makes a noise.
After a few seconds. There you go.
There you go. And we've got some games to go with it that include Pokemon Yellow, I believe, we promised last time.
And Original Tetris.
Original Tetris.
Oh, yeah.
Makes all of those noises, as we were discussing.
Indeed. We've got a Rising Sun wristband in there as well from the wonderful Rising
Sun. Rising Games.
Rising. Why do I keep saying Rising? Because there is a sun in the background. It's Rising Games.
Yes.
With a picture of a sun.
Yes.
But it is just Rising Games.
Who were our guests on the last show.
They were. We have also promised, when we were talking about rubbish charity shop things on Tumblr, that we will buy you an obscure gift from a charity shop.
Yeah.
Now, I am heading back to what can only be described as the Shire over Christmas, and I fully intend to look in some of the most odd and bizarre charity shops that I can find in the
Fantastic.
Area to try and pick up a bizarre and odd prize.
Good, good.
What else have we got?
We will also be including in our wonderful prize draw, there's a tile thing that Jess gave us, who was our guest from episode 2.
The tile, that's one of those whistling it fine. And it's there.
So you link it up with your phone, and then whenever you lose whatever it's attached to, you press a button in the app and it sings.
Because I could hide them in gloves.
You could. You could hide them wherever you wanted, Robo Nails, and it would let you know where it was and help you track it down.
Indeed.
Although that is only included on the proviso that it's not used for anything creepy.
Yeah,
as Jess said.
Yeah.
When she joined us, there is a
no
signed,
low-jacking.
There's a signed copy of About the Walls, which is an album by Irene and the Disappointments, who are our guests from episode 1.
Brilliant band.
There's a portable USB phone chargery thing. Well, chargery thingy. You can charge whatever you want from it. And take it wherever you go.
Yeah.
So that will be in the draw as well. And of course, there's a draw.
Yeah, the actual set of drawers, the little chest of drawers that all of this comes in, is yours.
Is a prize, yes.
So it's part of it. So you get this cool little chest of drawers with it all as well. It is prize draw. This all came from the fact that I can't spell draw, or I can, but I used the wrong spelling of draw.
Yes,
when we were originally
notes.
Writing out in our notes. So we
had to buy some drawers and make this into a thing.
Because I said prize draw, so now we have a prize draw. It is a prize draw. That is also a drawer of prizes.
Yes.
It's a prize draw drawer. It's a prize draw.
And you absolutely can win the draw or the chest of drawers if you want. I mean, you're more than welcome to just take the drawer that has the prizes in.
But every week.
But, you know,
we add
go ahead. Every week
it.
We add things to it. We throw things in this pile of prizes here.
And there'll be plenty more and plenty of extras and stuff during the... during the series, we are adding in a portable charger.
Yep.
So that's very good.
And all the other guests that we have across the rest of this series will be donating items as well, which is nice of them.
But also, just to see how it turns out, we will be under controlled circumstances and in a very sealed and safe way, including... a McDonald's cheeseburger and fries in with this prize. We are going to buy them today.
Yeah.
And when we give away this prize on the 26th of February, 2016, we will...
That is when that is.
All being well, they will look exactly the same.
Yes. It will be in Tupperware and you do not have to accept it as part of the prize.
It will
we should
be
point
sealed.
Out.
We do not recommend you eat it.
Yes. We should probably glue the Tupperware shut.
Yes. But it will be a McDonald's cheeseburger and fries. Your very own, very real Icelandic work of art. You can live stream it. You can do what you like with it. But
yes, we just want to see how it turns out, pretty much.
Really, it's just a science experiment that we're sending along with you.
Basically. But if you want to win a disgusting old cheeseburger and various other exciting and non-disgusting prizes, just head to gkly.co/prizes.
And there is one other little prize that we're adding this week as well.
That's exciting.
I didn't even tell you about it.
You didn't even tell me. It's not in the notes.
It's not in the notes. I know.
It's rather
going
exciting.
Off the rails
I'm
here.
I'm slightly worried
it's
by
just,
this
it's
prospect.
It's just me and the robot at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Could it be?
Yes, it is. It is.
Could it be?
Yep.
Could it be 1985?
No, it's not 1985.
Could it be? There might even be a handy link.
No. Could it
could
be?
Could it be Bargain Corner?
Oh, hello.
Could it be Vinnie Barrett?
It's not Vinnie Barrett either.
Could it be Unicorn?
No.
Could it be Tomato Ketchup?
No.
Although there's probably some of that in with the burger. So.
Yeah, maybe a bit.
Or, there'll be a bit of that.
Yeah, possibly. Although I'm sure they call it like McDonald's secret sauce or something.
Probably. It's basically ketchup and mustard, but I'm sure that's
and a bit
what
of
they,
mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. But no, we're also going to be giving away, we're going to add into the prize draw Raspberry Pi Zero. They were launched this last week. Been quite difficult to get a hold of.
Indeed.
Managed to secure one for the prize draw.
Exciting.
Very exciting.
Incredibly
very cool.
Exciting.
Raspberry Pi Zero is an even smaller version of the Raspberry Pi.
And cheaper, most importantly.
It is very cheap, yeah. We love you so much for spending loads on our prizes for
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely.
But it is really fascinating that this type of computing is getting smaller and smaller, and you can do more and more with it. I mean, these are even more advanced than the original Raspberry Pis.
But smaller and cheaper.
But less than half the size, in fact.
Yes, they're tiny, about almost half the size of a credit card.
It's crazy.
Completely like flat and everything. They don't have all of that stuff sticking out of them like the current ones do.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely incredible. So that's going to be a lot of fun there as well.
Yes. And if you want to win that and all of our other prizes, just go to gkly.co/prizes, leave us your name or your IRC name or your Twitter or whatever, and your email address, which we do need because then we can tell you you've won. And we will draw for the prize draw in the final episode of this series, which is on, as you said, the 26th of February, 2016, and is our live version.
It certainly is. Wow.
Indeed, Robo Nails. Yep. Indeed.
See, I mean, as much as I miss Catherine this week, I do enjoy having the Catherine in front of me that I can...
Yay. Yes. Yep, so...
Lots of things.
In a big vat of KFC gravy. And magic happens.
You're enjoying pressing Catherine's buttons, are you?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, it is all stuff that Catherine says quite often.
Taste everything you touch.
Basically.
So let's go for another song now. We've got a lot of requests from you. Thanks very much for that. And thanks to everyone in the chat room for putting those requests in. But first off, this is a band that I've never been a particularly huge fan of, but you know the lyrics to every song they have ever written.
Well, that could be anyone.
You know all of the words to all of their songs, and you even like bands that are worse than them.
I genuinely don't know which band you're talking about. Because I despise the fact that I know the lyrics to a lot of all of the songs by a lot of bands' entire repertoires. That was a very confusing sentence.
This one begins with an M and ends in a uk fly.
I see. Yes, I mean, I don't not like McFly.
You like McFly.
They weren't as bad as other bands that began with B and ended in us did.
Wow.
So,
but you also know lots of Busted song
lyrics.
I know
lots of Busted song lyrics because they were played all the time when I was younger. And it's
by
just
you
kind of
listening to them.
By like
by
the
you
radio and stuff, all right?
By your CD collection.
I didn't have CDs. I was like 7. I could barely operate a crayon. So
you could barely operate a crayon when you were 7.
We do.
So that it's Would You Rather right time, then.
It is Would You Rather.
Every week we pose a question to you, the listeners. Would you rather?
Yes.
And you get to vote.
You can vote on it and we will find out horrifying things about our listenership as a result. So
what is this week's?
This week the question is, would you rather be trapped in a robot body with no voice? We thought we'd theme it around Catherine being a robot.
Right, okay.
Would you rather be trapped in a robot body with no voice or be in your normal body, like just as you are now, but have a robot voice that we in the studio control?
So much like Catherine.
Much like Catherine, yeah. She is currently in her normal body wherever she is at the moment.
And
but
we have control
over
her.
We have control over her.
Tomato ketchup.
Indeed. And her voice.
So question. Does my robot body, if I were to choose that option, have a screen or any kind of way of gesturing or...
Well, I don't know. I suppose if it did have a screen, you'd still be able to communicate.
But I'd have no voice.
But you'd have no voice.
And I do
so
like
this
talking.
Radio thing would be a bit rubbish.
Radio would be hard. YouTube would probably be boring.
Yes. You would just be flashing up things on your screen.
Well, yeah. And generally, videos of people that just stand there and flash are removed from YouTube quite quickly.
Yes, generally. So that's potentially problematic. So I think, probably no screen, just to be on the safe side. If you chose that option, whereas if you were a human, then I guess you'd still be able to gesture, but we would have total control over your
gravy boat
and everything else you said.
So I've got buttons here too, you know.
You've got Hattie Heyridge and I've got Catherine. Together we have a robot army.
We do. So how can our listeners vote?
Well, if you have an opinion... preferably on this, but we'll take any of them. Go to gkly.co/WYR.
For Would You Rather.
Yes, indeed.
WYR.
Or click the Would You Rather link on the website and cast your vote.
Fantastic. I wonder if anyone's already voted.
Currently, we are the normal body, but the robot voice that we control is pulling ahead in the lead.
That's brilliant.
So
yay, more robots that we can control the voice of.
Yes, we could have a lot of fun with that.
We could
if
you didn't
sure
just randomly cough into the microphone.
That was odd.
Hello, this is professionalism calling.
Yes, this is...
Wants to know where you are today.
Inexplicable cough calling. I didn't even feel that one coming. That just happened.
Oh, well, yeah.
Which is officially the soundbite you're going to use for me when I am not in the studio. So... do cast your votes, gkly.co/WYR.
And oh, let us know, well, indeed.
Let us know whether you would prefer having your voice controlled by us, we crazy people here.
Or whether you'd like a robot body and no voice at all.
Yeah, which is an equally valid option, I suppose,
because I wouldn't
trust us with our voice.
Might
anyway.
Be a bit sad, though. But anyway.
KF in the chat room says, you can write on paper to explain that other people are talking for you.
And probably you could write on paper very well and very fast if you're a robot.
You could probably print stuff if you're a robot. I mean, you might be able to hook yourself up to a printer. Do you have USB ports if you're a robot?
I'd imagine you probably did. Probably. Thunderbolt and lightning and very, very frightening me.
Yes, something like that.
Yeah.
Some sort of. Or maybe, like, you're a robot. But as your final curse, you're only compatible with printers that use those old-fashioned printer ports.
Oh, the LPT.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
I'm a. You can't communicate unless it's via serial ports.
Yes. You can't communicate unless it's 1995.
And you've got an Apple Talk compatible device.
Oh, God.
Only compatible with IBM PCs 386 or lower. So my general kind of geekery around old technology is coming out now.
You can communicate, but it's only via MS-DOS compatible programs and not through Windows versions later than 3.1.
I've got my my state-of-the-art handheld in my hand right now, my Apple Newton message pad.
Trusty device.
And it is difficult because it's got a modem that I haven't worked out how to use yet.
Right.
Because it's got some weird proprietary plugs on the side.
Of course.
And there's one that's like, here's the backwards and forwards thingy. And
backwards and forwards thingy.
Yeah, it's got like arrows and stuff. It's for communications. But I haven't got a clue how to actually then use that. I've got a little card that lets me plug in for a printer and stuff. But I just don't know how to get it to work.
I'd love to be able to say that Apple devices this far in the future compared to the Newton aren't full of completely proprietary ports that no other device can work with.
It's got some great sound effects, though. I mean, where's the speaker? Where is it? I've got no idea.
Just keep tapping stuff. That's an interesting noise.
Oh, there we go. It comes out there. It is a bit of an interesting noise.
What are you doing to make that noise? What does that mean?
I'm hitting undo.
I see. Is and that it, your you made a mistake noise?
There is nothing
on the Apple
to undo.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, but I can.
What if you try
stuff
and undo the Newton?
I
mean, Steve Jobs tried several times.
Yeah, I can undo that. There we go. But it is a great, great device. This thing, because actually you can draw on the screen. It had handwriting recognition before any other device of its ilk did. so you could do absolutely anything on the screen.
That's an amusing picture.
Yeah, the picture of a cat that I just drew.
Totally was a cat.
Uh-huh. And then you can kind of almost animate them as well, which is brilliant.
Oh, wow. Wow. So, yeah. That really is an animated cat.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you drew there.
And I could then email that to someone if I so desired, or I could beam it. So if you've got an infrared device...
I think I left all of mine in 1998, I'm afraid.
And I think I can send it to... I think the only infrared device that is in my house currently is my TV.
Yeah.
And that doesn't quite receive data.
No. Although if that picture came up on the TV, I would be very amused and slightly alarmed.
Yes, that's a lot of cross-compatibility that I would not assume actually happened at back in this era. But yeah, so I mean, I do love my old technology.
Indeed, you do.
Oh, Newton.
Inappropriate pictures or otherwise.
Yes.
speaking of old technology, and in fact technology in general, you see how I'm managing to pull these threads through and make this sound like we know what we're talking about.
Yes, although it is relevant to old technology as well, because replacement parts that you can make for things.
Yes. So something that I have recently become very aware of and excited about are makerspaces. And if you don't know what that is...
I don't. Please do enlighten me.
It is a big room.
Wow. Okay, a big room.
Yes.
In a place. Is that not just called a room?
But it gets more exciting because inside the room, there is stuff. Yeah. And there was an eyebrow raise of excitement. And
I did raise my eyebrow in excitement.
Yes. The stuff in said room tends to be things you use to make other stuff. So, like...
You are really bad at explaining
things. I know. Laser cutters and CNC machines and all sorts of tools you can use to build things.
What's a CNC machine?
It stands for computer numerically controlled. And basically, it's a drill that you set your computer to do. Or
just say a computerized drill.
A computerized drill.
Thank you. Yeah, fancy words.
That's what it's called. Anyway, and it can be other stuff. It doesn't have to be a drill. Anyway, not the point. All kinds of big, expensive machines that you could never necessarily get on your own. Like, they're too big to go in your house or things you can't afford. But
basically a place that people go to make stuff.
Yes. A maker space, a space of people that make things.
So we're talking like just like drilling holes or like electronics projects or...
All sorts of things. There's a space in London that is a maker space / art studio. So they have all sorts of electronics parts and things. They have all of these building machines that I was talking about. Lots of areas for you to go and woodwork. There are woodworking benches and tools for that as well.
And starting to sound a lot like my secondary school.
There are lots of arts facilities as well, so you can
screen. But a lot more cultured.
You can screen print things there. You can do ceramics. There's all kinds of facilities available, and there are loads of these kinds of spaces all over the world. And they always tend to be community run, so it's a complete non-profit, community-led thing. Everyone that's a member of the makerspace gets to decide on its future and the things you get for it, like the tools people want and how it's run, when it's open, those kinds of things. So they're lovely community projects that bring together these people that like building things, which is rather exciting.
Well, that sounds really cool.
And it means you get to use tools that you'd not necessarily be able to use on your own because they're big or expensive or generally difficult.
So, okay, I mean, that sounds great, but how do I get involved in something like that?
Well, the best way to do it is to start going to makerspaces. There is a directory of makers or hackspaces, as they're called.
Is there a difference between a hackspace and a makerspace?
It's kind of... It seems like they're kind of synonymous. The group of people will probably prefer one or the other, like makerspace or hackspace, but it's... They seem like the same thing, at least by my research. But there's communities of, like, there's a UK Hackspace Foundation at hackspace.org.uk that has a list of every hackspace in the UK. In fact, there's a website at hackerspaces.org that has a big list of some hackerspaces all over the world. And most of these kind of places have open evenings, and events that you can go along to and meet the community of makers that are there and learn how to make something new. Often they'll do workshops in like ceramics or woodworking or something like that, a skill you might want to learn. So that's kind of how you get involved, and then you can sign up to be a member. Usually there's a monthly subscription or something. And then you can go in whenever you want and make things using the equipment, which is rather exciting.
Yeah, you just got to stop talking.
I was thinking you might want to say some words.
Hello. I am currently thinking about sandwiches. I was listening to the stuff about makerspaces, but sandwiches are also cool.
Okay, so I've added an impromptu
unicorn.
Okay.
That happens as well sometimes.
So we've got... So makerspaces sound incredibly fantastic.
Yes.
And I'm itching to come and try one out. So I'm going to get along to my local one. You, I believe, are going to go and try out your local one.
Yep.
Our local ones are not the same ones.
They are not.
I live closer to the Geekly Studio than you do. Therefore, yes, we are in separate geographies when it comes to makerspaces, hackspaces, etc. So I'm going to go and try that one out. You go and try yours out. We'll report back on our experiences.
On whether or not I've managed to injure myself.
Well, they do sound really excellent. Yes. So we are now going to... Well, we've got our forecast coming up of the week. We're going to play a couple of requests for you as well. And we've got more exciting stuff coming up. I don't think we're doing too badly without Catherine this week.
No, it's going pretty well, generally.
I mean, well, fairly.
Yeah.
Oh,
she agrees, I suppose.
That was all the awesome.
Oh, well, there we go.
Well,
then.
Praise indeed.
It was. Okay.
Yes. Catherine, do you think we're doing okay with the show?
And it works.
The general summary this evening. Coins, heads or tails, 5. Pancakes, 6, with occasional lemon and sugar. The bird, 8. Your lid, 7. Malcolm Tucker scale rants. Extreme force warning. Houses, 4 or 5 under the hammer. Nuclear reactors, 9. Mattress, 2, docile and compliant, springy and comfortable when dry. Beer mats, 6. Tables, 5. Egg, sunny side up, 4. Over easy, 7. Switches, 4. Burgers, 6, 7 when bobs. Flipping egg, 9. And that concludes the flipping forecast.
Indeed.
To use a snowy ski... I mean, I'd use a snowy ski thing because everyone is requesting Christmas songs.
Yes, everyone. Now that we're allowed to talk about it, everyone is requesting Christmas songs. Now, I'm of the opinion that there is only one acceptable Christmas song.
And that is
Fairy Tale
of New York.
Obviously.
It's Fairy Tale of New York, not Fairy Tales of New York.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
And
indeed. So we've got a couple more requests to come this evening, so that'll be good.
But yeah, we have some Christmas songs to play a bit later on.
But you've
we are going to play their requests.
You've been creative today, though, haven't
you? I have been creative. Which is kind of scary.
A little bit, yeah.
So you know how we've got Robot Catherine with us?
I do. Yes, that is Robot Catherine there. And, you know,
making Catherine noises.
It's fair to say that Catherine was very disappointed at not being able to be here this week. But
yes.
Duty called for Catherine.
Indeed.
She had to go off and do some kind of official nail gun princess business.
Yes.
But we do have
the
robot version.
She is nail gun advisor to the United Nations.
She
you know?
Is, yes. And we have the robot equivalent.
We do
of
have the
here.
Robot. So I was talking to the robot a bit earlier.
A deep heart to heart, was it?
Indeed it was. I said, robot, how do you truly feel? And the robot said,
fingers in your mouth.
So that was quite alarming.
Well, indeed.
But I was talking to the robot and between us, we decided to write a poem.
Oh, how beautiful.
I know.
Are you going to perform this poem for
us
live now?
I would like to perform this poem for you now.
Throughout the series, shall we kidnap our guests? Yeah, or keep everyone in suspenders. Only in the literal sense. All I was thinking about the entire time that song was playing was Dancing Cows, Baker Street Station. strange ornaments, fingers in your mouth. It also entertained me for a good 20 minutes. Is there actually any point in eating this? Tomato ketchup generator. Because they give you minty fresh breath. 1985. If it was up to me, I want someone to taste everything you touch. And they wouldn't make you fat. Well, it looks like and magic happens. And it works. Yay. Could it be
Gothic Australian doctors for Africa?
In a big vat of KFC gravy. Hashtag unicorn. Maybe all I'm full of is inappropriateness. I don't quite know why. Because bargain corner does obviously require
Vinnie Barrett.
Okay, so I've added an impromptu gravy boat that you can enter. We are already here. That was all the awesome.
So that was the ode to nail gun by me and the robot.
That was beautiful. I liked that very much. That was lovely, and so much more beautiful than the poetry that that the organic Catherine comes out with on a weekly basis on the show.
Yes, indeed.
So we will need to work hard on getting some more beauty and poetry out of Catherine. Oh, that's
indeed
hilarious.
We will.
I've no idea. I've lost the plot.
Yes, no, I think we all have at this point in time.
Yes,
Robo
indeed.
Nails. I think we all have.
Come back, Catherine. We miss you.
We do. Please don't leave us alone more than a week. So another
otherwise
really
it'll happen again.
Another really interesting thing that that I've seen around on Twitter was something that that Misty tweeted, and something that I've seen on Twitter a few times before. But this idea of the world's longest traffic jam, or oldest traffic jam. So you were looking at this earlier as well.
Yes, I spotted this in my feed a little earlier today. But it was a really interesting picture, because it was, where was it? It was in Belgium.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful photo of this line of cars in a traffic jam. But they've been in a traffic jam for 70 years. I don't know why they're still there. In fact, there's a link that I can click. But they've been stuck in the woods for 70 years. There's obviously no people there anymore. But trees have just grown around the traffic jam. It looks like they're driving literally through a forest, through trees, because there are trees growing out of the cars and everything.
That is quite amazing.
Weirdly fascinating.
I mean, it's worth noting that the cars have gone now. The cars have, in fact, been removed from the traffic jam, which is really why this story is there. But going back to 1998, even, there are photographs showing all of these cars here in this traffic jam. It's just intense. It's just a long, long line of cars that got abandoned on a forest road. It's absolutely bizarre, really.
Yeah. I've clicked the link that was in the tweet I saw, and it says that the cars, they're classic American cars, and they were parked in a Belgian forest by American soldiers who went home after the Second World War and couldn't take them back for financial reasons. So they were just left.
They just left them.
In Belgium, and then a forest grew. I mean,
wow.
Well, it says here, the story seems plausible at first, but it doesn't add up once you look at the pictures. The vast majority of the cars were built after World War II, so they were evidently not left by American soldiers in the middle of the 1940s.
How interesting. So there's some debate about where they came from.
There's a full story on here, which we will be tweeting about in a moment.
That's fascinating.
But there's all sorts of photos.
I find old kind things of abandoned stuff like that really, really fascinating. There are hundreds, being such an old country, there are hundreds of abandoned old buildings around the UK that have kind of been reclaimed by forests. And a huge hobby amongst people is urbex, or urban exploration, where people will go. And obviously it's not necessarily legal to be able to go in and just explore these places. But there are, just around here, around this area near where the Geekly Studios are, there are lots of abandoned asylums. So very kind of eerie places where very questionable medical practices took place going as far back as 100 years. Fascinating that some of these old buildings still exist, and in many of them were abandoned with almost all of their things inside them. So you can go and look around a lot of these venues and these places, and it is a very odd experience to go through and look at. So just really fascinating to see all of this going on. And so I'd love to hear from any of our listeners that have taken part in any urban exploration. I would love to see if anyone has ever gone and done any of that, because it's fascinating. I've gone and done some urban exploring once or twice. I used to live in Bradford, which is in the north of England, for those of you not familiar with the UK. And Bradford had an old cinema. It used to be a dance hall, and it was converted into a cinema. Beautiful old building. And there were ways to get into that and take a look around. And it was just stunning in a very eerie sort of way.
Hmm.
That's literally all you have to say on that is,
Yeah, basically.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
There are it's incredibly fascinating to see places that for some reason just fell out of use or were abandoned or whatever, because it's like a time capsule of what that place was like. I saw a video recently of a couple of people who went and explored Chernobyl.
Well, certainly Pripyat. The city that was Chernobyl.
Not the reactor itself, but
I've always been really fascinated by Pripyat. I'd love to go and visit sometime.
They went and had a look around Pripyat, and it feels almost like people could still be living there, because everything is still set up as if people lived there.
But
it's all completely abandoned, and it's all in various states of disrepair, as it's just not had people in it, so stuff has worn out and people have looted it. So there's nothing valuable left there anymore, unfortunately. But it still feels, said the people in the video, it still feels like somewhere that people might live.
And if you were going to go and visit Pripyat, you'd almost certainly need a robot body. So let's take a look at how our Would You Rather is going.
Indeed. Indeed you would.
And it seems to be 100% skewed in one direction.
Yes. And that direction is to be in your normal body, but have a robot voice that we control.
So the question we asked you, would you rather be trapped in a robot body with no voice, or be in your normal body, but have a robot voice that we controlled?
Well, yeah.
Just like Catherine this week.
Indeed.
I know.
So.
And did you forget what words were again?
I did, yeah. Sorry, I was my mind was entirely elsewhere. So, I was just musing over the fact that just thinking about kind of time capsules and things getting stuck in time. I got one of the original Google Nexus tablets about 3.5 years ago. When they came out. And after about 6 months, it stopped working. Mm. I sent it off to get repaired. It came back. And then after a couple of weeks again, it just stopped working. And I couldn't, for my life, work out what was wrong with it. So I put it in a box and forgot about it, and then kind of found it again earlier this week, and I gave it to you.
You did.
And for some reason, it came back to life.
I did my magic.
And it was like a digital time capsule. I could remember my pattern password, so I put that in, and it was exactly as I'd left it kind of 3 years ago.
Wow.
And absolutely mad that I suddenly, it was like looking back at a different life digitally. You know, it's everything moves on so fast. It was stunning how different it was.
Yeah. I mean, I've had that same thing where I've logged into old email accounts that I no longer use. It comes up with all of the things you subscribe to, because obviously they keep sending you emails even though you stop using the account. So it's like, these are all of the things I was interested in when I used this account. These were the things, and you can go back through your old emails and think, wow.
Yeah, and it's...
This was a time in my life.
Well, and just how much Android's changed as well. I mean, I'm not really an Android user. And so we turned it on and it was like that. And then I reset it and have just finished updating it.
Because you have to go through each version, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like I'm on, what, Android 5.1?
Something like that.
And it's so different. I mean, Android has really changed. Mm. I'm still not sure I like it. I mean, it looks weird.
Well, yeah.
The settings icon looks like it was designed by a... Well, I just don't like it.
All right, then.
Yeah. And there's a separate app for Google settings. Point. Why is there a separate app for Google settings?
Because they're the special ones.
Well, I don't know. Not a fan. But, it's so fascinating to just see how things change over all this time. It's just absolutely fascinating. And the same happens with that urban exploring as well.
Yes.
Anyway, we have hit our time for today, haven't
Pretty
we?
Pretty much. We are about there with 32 seconds left.
Oh,
so can we do the wrap-up in 32 seconds?
I think we can.
Let's go. Well, thank you very much for listening. It's been very fun, as shows go. The Would You Rather came out being in your normal body but having a robot voice that we control, which was very interesting, and we will try and make that happen as soon as possible.
Thank okay, you, to everyone. You can calm down. can calm down. Thanks to everyone
for listening.
Thanks
to everyone that got involved in the chat room and on Twitter and everything.
We, of course, wish Tim Peake all the very best of luck with the launch into space that will happen just before the next Geekly. That happens on the 15th. We are back on the air on the 18th. We have some awesome stuff lined up for the 18th already.
Fantastic.
Catherine will be back with us.
In human form as well, most excitingly.
Indeed. We will be doing
we will no longer have buttons.
Whole host of different things. It's been a great show.
It has.
Very much enjoyed being on the air with you all.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in.
There's just been a
Even
noticeable hole where Catherine would normally have been.
Only in the literal sense.
Yes, only in the literal sense.
Indeed.
Well.
Could it be Bargain Corner?
It could be Bargain Corner. But on that note, I think it's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to The Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is an independent production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill, live long and prosper. Wear sunscreen.